Now on today's program, this is a movie about a talking horse. It's Hot to Trot. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadang.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin. And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to our fine program. As always, if you're new to the show, this week we're talking about a movie that stars a talking horse, voiced by John Candy and Bobcat Goldthwait. It's Hot to Trot from 1988, directed by Michael Dinner, who's a big TV director these days. He also directed, what was it? Judge Reinhold's what?
Yeah, Offbeat, a previous episode of ours.
A much better movie. Oh, my God.
I don't know about that.
I will put my weight behind that.
Before
one.
We get too much in the oats here, we should stop and recognize and thank the patron that sponsored this episode.
Patrick.
Our dear friend Patrick. We had just a quick FYI, as with the Tango and Cash episode, we had a program where you could sponsor an episode. We've since closed that on our Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Trump actually executive ordered it out.
Yeah, that was one of those ones that got through. Hawaii didn't give a shit about that. But so Patrick requested this episode, so we're doing it. I think we have like one or two more of these to do. So we'll
couple
pop
more.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, one that I'm really excited for, but I'm going to save it for a surprise.
So everybody, thank Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
To all of our patrons out there. Patrons?
Patrons.
Patreon. Come on. You could see how I make that mistake.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised.
All right.
So this movie, this was something that was a staple in the Siska household. Is that right?
This was on TV a lot. I don't know what channel, the hinterlands of the premium cable dial, maybe, but like this might have been like a Stars, like like right when they started or something, or Cinemax or whatever.
Look, we're starting this new movie network called Stars. It's with a Z at the end of it. And yes, all we could license was Hot to Trot.
And it is up in the Highlands.
It's got John Candy, so.
This was a staple in my cousin's house. The other movie that I remember from that house was Hot to Trot and Mac and Me. They had both on VHS.
So how did you evade
seeing Mac and Me? Because it was always hot. It was Hot to Trot all the time when I went there.
Well, they were hot for Hot to Trot.
Hot to Trot's a much better movie.
Can I just say this, and I might get pinned to a wall here.
Sure.
I kind of liked this movie.
I
feel so stupid.
I've hated this movie for about 25 years. Like, it's like real bile.
I feel somewhat vindicated by you coming in here and saying you liked this
movie. Steve, but what was the other movie that your cousins were putting on all the time? Remember we were talking about... It wasn't what you just said right now. Yeah. I was listening to you.
But I was going to say.
There was another thing where we were talking about, like, I think it was on the last mailbag, like, embarrassing movies that your family members liked.
Oh, and
you
were like, Zapruder film.
No.
Denny, get the Fritos.
Yeah, that is a Frito film, man. I don't know. Maybe it'll come.
I can't think of it.
So, yeah, this movie, we open on a when God created the earth.
And God might be a horse.
Yeah, God might be a horse, but also, like, we've heard rumors that God himself first created horses and then decided to create people. And I know nothing about this movie. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, that sounds an awful lot like John Candy.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was surprised by this. I didn't look up anything about it. The only thing I knew about this movie was Bobcat.
Did anybody read on the Wikipedia and or the Tribune about the how this movie kind of came to be?
Well, wasn't there a Shrek situation with this movie?
Well, yeah, it was Elliot Gould, and it tested poorly.
What a shock.
And they kind of like recut the movie. That's why this movie is held together by fucking bubblegum, if you look at it. Like, you're like, wait, why is it like this?
It's a low-budget 80s comedy, man. That's what they did.
This took four tries for me to get through.
Oh, wow.
Four different nights I had to try to get through
you
this.
You are ridiculous.
In one consistent viewing.
Chris, it's 83 minutes.
It is so difficult to stay attached to anything in this movie.
But there's nothing going on. That's what's great about it.
I'm just like, it's so maddening. And then there's the horse.
I'm going to need 12 horses.
No, wait, that's too many horses.
That's the horse with big glasses.
Hey,
And we should mention, gang, that today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Make your next move by making your next website with Squarespace. Now, Squarespace, of course, is the award-winning service that lets you create beautiful websites or online stores with their award-winning templates. Create a beautiful website with Squarespace's all-in-one platform. There's nothing to install, patch in, or upgrade ever.
Andrew, you made a website off of Squarespace, right? Like that no fooling website?
A no fooling real ass website,
and
man.
And you are terrible at techno jargon.
Yeah, I made a website with Squarespace, and thank God I did because it was the easiest thing ever. I've made a bunch of terrible websites in the past. Squarespace provides award-winning 24/7 customer support. Mm. They offer unique domain experience that's fully transparent and simple to set up. And that's what I was trying to get at before. One of the hardest things ever with websites is linking that domain to what you're doing, man. Mm. Squarespace, you're getting in and out with that stuff. It's super easy. They are flexible for any kind of website. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com and enter our offer code WHM to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, make your next move, make your next website.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like it. It sounds too... New York-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, you better believe
it. Oh, it's that New York thing that I just don't get.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
It sounded like the horse was going to do that Haver Nagala song.
Oh, my God.
Whatever, man. That's what they said about Seinfeld.
Well, yeah, exactly. A lot of people exactly, just don't like. Oh, I don't get Seinfeld. It's just too New York-y for me. Is it too New York-y? Yeah. Or is it
translation? Fucking bagel with fish on it. Mm-hmm. Racist.
Yeah. 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 Well. You're right.
Also, here's one of. I'll start this because I feel I'm going to be like way more positive than normal on this show. You Ooh. See some people that are like, oh, that Andrew Jupin just spews bile weekly on the internet. And I'm like, that's mostly accurate. Let me tell you what's great about this movie. Constantly, throughout this entire movie, aside from when they're playing different variations of We're in the Money, which does get annoying.
Holy crap.
Every other song in this movie is fucking harmonica-filled fat guy John Candy music, and it's awesome.
That's how the movie starts. I mean, it was like, it's a dance.
Then also, the Beastie Boys are in this,
oh, and,
too.
Yes, yes, and Fight for Your Right, parentheses, to party.
Because it's Danny Elfman. I think this is really? Kind of, yeah, he yep. does the music. And you can kind of, if you imagine somebody singing about a dead man's party over the music, you're like, yeah. Oh, I can see that.
It's a dead horse party.
Actually, wasn't that something else that the Tribune said about this movie? Was that Tim Burton turned down directing it?
Yeah, a lot of people turned down a lot of things. Joan Rivers was supposed to be the lead instead of Bobcat.
Which, what?
I mean, it was a different movie, well, obviously. Sure. I mean, like, not
It's
not
a horse! Oh, great, a horse is talking!
Do you know anything about the stock market? Tell me! Tell me!
Some weirdly controversial stuff about gay people!
This right. might be a better movie.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know.
Also, you know what? A better title for this movie? Only Beggars Can Ride.
The thing that's weird about this movie, and I love the guy, and I really thoroughly enjoy literally almost every movie he's made. The whole idea of the Bobcat like comedy persona being in a movie that's not Police Academy sequels is kind of weird.
It's
like if Sacha Cone was just doing Borat, but he wasn't called Borat, yes, and he wasn't wearing the dumb gray suit.
The thing. Look, in the 80s, you had a bunch of comedians that did the weird voices. Gilbert Gottfried, obviously.
Who's in this movie for a hot second
at
the end.
Who also we did an episode with. You want to check the back catalog?
There you go. Sweet
friend of the show, Gilbert Gottfried.
Sweet exactly. Gilbert plug. Yo, there's a doc about Gilbert coming out. It's playing at Tribeca.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't exciting. See Gilbert calling us for free tickets.
Is it called Shorter Than Steve Sadak? That's
like man, I could see the look in your eye when that elevator door opened and you had to look down at Gilbert
Gottfried. I felt like Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon that day. I was like, yeah.
that was a great day. We got to see Gilbert was putting his belt on, so It was a good moment.
We also ate at a diner before we went to his house. That was pretty sharp.
Yeah, it was very. it was too New York-y, I guess.
Yeah, a little New York-y that
Wait,
day.
What, did you get yourself a triple decker there?
You know me. Trip and my deck. Trip deck, dude, man. I love that trip deck. But you know, there Bobcat, Gilbert. Gilbert's also in this movie, which is also weird, but. It's
the amazing
comedy,
Jonathan.
The comedy percent, what?
The amazing Jonathan,
oh
sort
my
of.
God. He's one of them, right?
Yeah,
when
I think
he's
so.
Like exaggerated voice.
No. Listen, I don't know for sure. There's a good shot. That's just the amazing Jonathan.
Oh, you think he's rocking that 24/7?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, also, like, hasn't he been on the brink of death for like 10 years?
Yeah, didn't he die already?
No, he's. No, it's like he couldn't do that Windex gag anymore because he was dying.
Anyway, there were a lot of comedians doing fun voices, and that was just how they were identified.
Yes.
And that's just how they had to carry on throughout their life. They had to just do that character.
Sure, right. I am just very dubious, and this movie confirmed all my suspicions about anchoring a movie to him.
Yes.
He's a co-star. He needs to be part of a melange. Like, it can't just be him and a horse. Like, and that's what you're telling me. As much as it is great to hear it be voiced by John Candy, I love the man.
You want to flip that, actually. You put beautiful. John Candy as the guy and Bobcat's the horse. Now we got a movie.
That would actually be way better. You're so right.
Yeah, John Candy has presence. Like, he can glue a movie together.
There would be one.
He can horse glue a movie.
There would be a roadhouse scene, clearly, with a lot of harmonicas. Because I just feel like wherever John Candy was, a choir of harmonicas was behind
him. Oh, yeah, dude. And in that roadhouse, there's a misunderstanding. And they get that classic John Candy, like,
but also,
he gets hit with a 2x4.
But also, you could always get a good shuffle on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh totally. That,
yeah, maybe he recovers it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's he wins over a bunch of rowdy bikers by dancing
by doing a shuffle.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, his horse is out back peeing on their motorcycle.
I'm peeing on your motorcycle. See, that is it.
It's right there.
Jesus Christ.
That sounded like Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman was another one of those people.
Yes.
Where he couldn't be Paul Rubens for a long time. So if Borat got famous in like 1984, he probably would be Borat, or Yakov Smirnoff maybe is another one.
I mean,
one.
Kaufman probably had that problem too, I'm sure. Like, when he showed up for certain auditions, they're like, well, aren't you going to do, the,
do
thing?
The thing?
You're going to do
well,
the thing, right?
You see him getting debased in the Milos Forman movie with that, where they're like, do Latka. And
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm trying to sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
That's also not good.
So this movie is, it's Dabney Coleman is...
wearing fake teeth that I think Mickey Rooney was wearing in fucking Breakfast at Tiffany's, by the way.
Very well might could have been.
Bobcat's
he's fantastic, by the way.
He is the
Dabney
best part of this
Coleman
movie, I would say.
Dabney Coleman is amazing in this movie.
On my radar, he's the best.
Coleman is Bobcat's stepdad. Bobcat's mother dies, and in the will, he gets half the company and a horse. And comedy ensues. The horse, played by John Candy,
pretty much. Here's what I don't like is they make John Candy like when he's like, "Hey, you have this talking horse, and it's me." And Bobcat's like, "Dah!" And then like they go on a little road trip. Then John Candy like has to tell all about like how he is a talking horse. He comes from a long line of chosen horses.
Holy fucking
and I'm like,
Christ.
Just be a talking horse.
Well, just stop it.
Chris,
just stop it with
not,
the mythology.
This is not that weirder than other mythologies in movies.
But I never needed, if there was ever a time I didn't need somebody to explain to me what was going on, it's when a fucking horse is talking like John Candy. Just let it be. I accept it.
If a horse was talking like Elliot Gould, though, I need some explanation.
Excuse me?
Wait, what is going on here? Maybe, yeah, it was
66th Street. What?
You know, like by Lincoln Center.
What? Oh, my God, a horse in Lincoln Center. I like that movie better, too. Oh,
that actually sounds like the title of an awesome children's book, A Horse in Lincoln Center.
And it's about me going to see War Horse at Lincoln Center, which I did when it was a play production.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it was really nice. Really cool.
In that, Dabney is making love to some other lady in the beginning in the horse stable there.
Yes.
And this whole apartment setup they've got here.
I think one of his workers is living there or something.
Well, another guy uses it as his fuck pad.
Yeah, this is a fuck pad. It's like, hey, man. One of the horses died, right? And instead of wasting money on another horse, I converted this part of the horse barn into a fuck room.
You know how you do that? You get a lot of deodorant and a lava lamp. Now you got a fuck room. Now you got a room.
A lot of blankets.
But it looks like a little boy's bedroom. It's really weird.
You took Jack Lemmon right out of there and you put in a fucking horse. A John Candy talking horse.
Well, the funny thing is, he's trying to make it. Dabney Coleman's trying to make it with this lady, and the horse is watching.
Yes,
and she's like, "This isn't working for me." He's like, "Ah, come on, baby!" And it's like, "Wait!" Yeah, a horse is looking at me with his dead black eyes.
Well, that horse doesn't know what's going on.
Horse eyes creep me out, man.
Yeah, that is pretty gross.
It's like just marbles of despair.
Like eyes. Yeah, the blackest horse's eyes. Equine eyes. The devil's eyes. Yeah, picked off all the soldiers one by one. From underneath.
The horse's eyes, you could see the despair and the criminality of nature right there in that moment and him glaring at you.
The reflection of Dabney Coleman filling up a lady younger than him.
How cruel is it to have God create such a majestic creature but produce one without a soul?
The indifference to Ferris Bueller's mother's naked bodice.
Oh, that's right. That's who it is. Yes, that's who that lady is.
Oh, woo! I can breathe again.
Cindy Pickett, man. Yeah,
oh, good for her. The horse will represent Fat America by John Candy. His mouth comes out of the horse.
The dulcet tones of John Candy. May he rest in peace. So then he's like, all right, yeah, that horse is bothering you, baby. Watch this. And he goes into the horse and he's like, tomorrow it's glue or whatever. And he like pulls this shade down and I'm like, what on earth is with this shade? As if this has happened before and you know,
and
you
there's like
pull a
stable
shade down?
Hands coming left and right.
Oh,
like,
these guys know what's up.
And this guy's rich as fuck. Go to a hotel.
Yeah.
And just paying cash or whatever.
Or having an apartment for your side girl in the 80s.
But this guy's clearly a deviant of like another level.
Oh, you think he's into the animal?
Well, because I'm sorry. I don't know how clean you keep this fucking thing.
Yes.
But the whole place smells like horse shit.
Of course it does.
All of it. Piss, too.
And I don't know about you guys, but I can't keep it up if there's the smell of feces in
the
room.
And wet hay. Like, dude. All that.
Yeah, but don't
and
you want
to... potpourri of that.
You smell that, Chris, and you're like, wet hay. I could make it wetter. Right? It's like
no,
a challenge.
No. Cold. Cold and frigid.
Literally fucking a Denny's
bathroom.
This
is also
better to fuck in a Denny's bathroom.
Less bacteria for sure.
Guys, we don't know.
You can get deer ticks,
how the wealthy live and they grow up with that stable culture of having enough money for stables.
Sure.
And they're going through it, and that, you know, this guy has been his family's been raising horses forever, so you know he's probably lost his virginity in a very similar fashion.
Oh, so it's like George Costanza with the sandwiches.
Yes,
he can only get horned up when he's around food in that one episode.
Exactly. I'm just always afraid if I were to be fucking in a horse stable, I'd be like, oh man, I think Joe Pantoliano's going to burn this thing down for the insurance money.
That's true. That's a real fear. Those horses are worth a lot of money.
But it's even weirder because Bobcat knows about it and goes and just walks in.
He walks right in, he catches him, and he's like, my mom's only been dead 2 days. And I'm not going to try to keep doing that.
It's tough. It's a tough one.
It's a hard one.
The man was talented. The man is talented. He could do that.
Yeah, he can. So he walks in. He's like, my mother hasn't even been put in the ground yet, and you're fucking some woman. And like Dabney Colvin's just like, oh, what do you say, son? Hey, how's it going? You're just like... All of this is disgusting.
Remind me, Dabney Coleman still with us?
He is. I had to double check that.
Man.
He's on, what's that, that Ray Donovan.
He was on there. What's that Ray Donovan? The answer is Ray Donovan.
He was great on Boardwalk.
He was.
Oh, that's right. He was like getting poisoned by somebody or something.
Gretchen Mol, I believe.
Yeah, Michael.
I think it's great that he's still acting. You know, you see so many of these great actors just vanish into the ether.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
Most of the rest of Drexler's class.
Just waiting for David Fincher or Steven Soderbergh to get a character part for him.
Mm-hmm. I think you're seriously the only person I know that watched Drexler's Class.
I watched enough
what
of it.
What is this?
It was like just one of your standard 90s sitcoms where a teacher's dealing with kids that are...
Wasn't it like in that block of the Saved by the Bell, like Saturday morning
thing? It was an evening show.
That was a primetime program?
Absolutely.
Huh.
It's getting night outside. I don't know. We'll go and watch Drexler's Class.
Steven, get in here. The sun's setting. Drexler's Class is on. Get your baseball bat and your spaghetti donut. Drexler's Class.
Like, you don't know what it's like in the Bronx, all right? Nobody knows. You watch Drexler's Class. You like the Yankees.
Well, you know what? At this point, I'm convinced that this is like a blue and gold dress, and you're just thinking of Saved by the Bell.
No, Drexler's Class exists. Existed.
Yeah, I mean, like, and wait, do you think Dabney Coleman played Mr. Belding?
No, he was Drexler.
Drexler.
Yeah, it was his class.
And what did he do in his class?
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like he was a put-upon teacher.
I feel like this is a fake show.
I'm telling you, he's thinking about, he just misremembered.
Yeah.
All right. He just doesn't want to talk about it. Well,
yeah, he's going to look it up. In the meantime, so Bobcat's like, all right, I inherited this horse. Let's go check it out. And he goes to the stable, and John Candy's like, hey, how you doing? I'm a horse. And Bobcat lets out a Bobcat scream, and then he's like, you know what? I've been in this barn for like 10 years. Because they don't race me or whatever. Like, let's go for a little joyride. So they get in this horse carrier car and they drive. And John Candy's like, you know, I'll show you where to go. We're like going to go on a little bit of a
ride.
Well,
the funny thing is, I'm surprised the movie continues because in the car, Bobcat's like, wow, it's just like Mr. Ed. And they have like a Mr. Ed riff where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, if you would talk too if you had like a carrot up your ass or something. I'm like, well, isn't that the whole movie? Like, how are you going to continue that? That's what you build up to if you're writing this movie. It's like the Mr. Ed joke.
Well, the thing about it is what this movie is it's Mr. Ed, but like clearly on late 80s cocaine.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what this is. So I think you have to get the Mr. Ed thing out of the way so you let the cocaine take over the screen.
Right. And what he was referencing was like you shove a carrot up Mr. Ed's ass to get his mouth to move and then you overdub it. And he was very offended. That this is not a real talking horse.
Peanut butter,
but like how am I thinking of anything else when the fucking horse talks?
Yes.
Now I'm just thinking about fucking John Candy shoving, you know, carrots up.
Wait, he would do it himself?
Yes.
Do you think he was like behind
He's
it?
Method.
Like,
he's like method guy.
The insult comic dog. It's just a dude behind it, behind this horse.
No, he was like Andy Serkis. He needed to really feel the animal.
Hold the phone. It would be Elliot Gould shoving the carrot
Yes, originally. The original footage would. So Elliot Gould would be the one to get the...
I'm going to need like, 12 salad bars.
But like to that point, like I just like now you call so much attention to the fact. I'm just like,
well, I don't know. I was distracted by mildly enjoying this movie. I forgot about the carrot insertion joke.
The thing is, as a child watching this movie, that just glossed right over.
Well, sure, yeah.
And yeah. I just enjoyed the uproarious comedy of this.
This movie's kind of dirty too.
Like, there's a lot of movie.
Yeah,
we stop short of F-bombs. The weird thing is when him and this horse start hanging out, we're not blowing rails, we're not smoking weed, and we're not drinking beer. We're just drinking soda.
Tab is worst, all over this movie.
The worst of it all.
He should be blowing rails with this horse and going out to the fucking club.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Totally. I think, well, the problem is it's like bringing a horse in public.
Also, you fucking feeding this horse a tub of fucking Tab every night.
Yeah, the diarrhea in this apartment has to be real.
The diarrhea and then the almost imminent death.
Oh, yeah, also the dead horse. Also that.
Awesome. That's a question because if you watch the whole movie, you get through the credits. There's no PETA mention about, you know, no animals were horse.
Five graves.
Five dead horses.
That's your guess?
This was 1988. When did that law come into play?
I don't know. I mean, you could kill a whole mess of horses.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely think there's dead horses on this movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's, like, there's, oh.
Michael Dinner had some horse blood on his hands.
But who didn't at the time?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It was a different era, you know. You can't
Robert Duvall in The Godfather. He had a lot of horse blood.
Michael,
on his hands.
Michael, if we try to get this shot, the horse will die.
Get the shot. Yeah. Get the shot. I don't care. Get me another fucking horse. Three horses here by Monday. We're filming the fucking movie A Horse's Purpose. You're gonna get that shot, and then get Dustin Hoffman in here. Throw that horse in the pool. Oh goddamn it! Another fucking dead horse. Oh, this whole fucking movie's about dead horses.
Wait. He killed horse. What? That's Nick Nolte
from Luck.
Oh, he was in Luck.
He was in Luck.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh man, I can't even get out of my trailer. There's so many fucking dead horses. I can't even open the door. Trying to do a fucking monologue and a horse fucking drops dead in front of me. You know, I gotta hoof it to set and I gotta walk by all these hoofs. Right, every morning gotta huck one this way, huck one that way. Don't make Hoffman put up with this shit. Can you make me a leather tuxedo out of that horse? Hey you, catch!
My favorite part of the backstory here is that John Candy's like, oh, I didn't get along with my horse father, so I left horse home. Yeah, and I hit the road, and I made friends with this blues musician who I also murdered.
Yeah,
he's talking about like he made friends
watched to die.
Yeah, he made friends with this blues musician, and then like the dude was blind, and he didn't know that he was a horse for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And then he said
that he pretended to be an Italian boy from the Bronx.
Oh, that's right. And then this dude like fell out of a moving train.
But they don't show that. I'm like, come on, you got to show a guy fall out of a train.
Well, no actors were harmed in the making of this film. Horses on the other hand.
Fucking chuck a horse out of there. Tie a horse on the railroad tracks. Yeah, goddammit. If you want to kill a horse, I'll tell you how to do it. Here, each one of the grips, grab an appendage, and we all pull. Hey, craft services, I want a horse sandwich. Fucking starving. The best part's in the die. Farina keeps blowing his line. Take it forever. Eat a fucking horse steak.
Oh, do you think Dennis Farina, God rest his soul, went to horse hell? Like, you think everyone who was involved in Luck went to horse hell?
What is that? Like, you're just propping up against the wall, like an endless line of dead horse souls kicks you in the nuts.
Well, sorry, Dennis. It's your own goddamn fault.
Welcome to horse hell.
God goddamn it. You know, when I was a cop in Chicago, I never thought that the horses would be the ones that would rule the roost.
This is forever, bitch. Day in and day out. Oh, I can't wait till Michael Mann gets here. I'm going to eat his face off.
There's 20 guys waiting for that one.
That stupid little girl that played Pippi. Can't wait till she dies. She's in for it for eternity.
We're going to eat her.
I like the idea of horse hell, actually.
Yeah.
It's pretty right? cool. Pretty cool.
Because John Candy, in the start of this, says that...
Oh, John Candy's in horse hell, too.
Definitely be in horse hell.
I guess he would be.
In the horse hell, horse ride you.
Because in the start of this movie, he does mention that there's a possibility that God is a horse. Like,
sure.
Like God, that God made horses in his image and not man.
What a dumb thing.
But this validates our theory on horse hell.
That's actually true.
That would be, yeah.
I think every person who ever participated in a Western from the dawn of cinema up until, I don't know, Unforgiven.
Actually, also, probably Luis Buñuel. I'm thinking he killed a couple of animals.
Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah, so he's probably there.
So wait, what was the most evil horse in history? Like, what do you think is the horse devil, you know? Like, you know, like, yeah, Attila the Hun's horse or Genghis Khan.
Did Hitler have a horse?
What?
Did Hitler have a horse?
Oh, probably like a vacation home, but he didn't.
Yeah, but like, did he have stable?
No,
like,
did
he must have had horses.
He didn't have a business horse, though.
No.
He was a modern dictator, Chris.
Sure.
He had a Mercedes.
He didn't stride amongst the dead. No.
No, if Hitler had to cross a river, he did it in a car over a paved bridge.
He wasn't like Russell Crowe in Gladiator.
But Hitler definitely had horses. I mean, come on. Yeah. Who doesn't have horses?
It's a status symbol.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the pony.
Yeah. I mean, but
she's in horse hell.
Oh, yes, that absolutely. Lady. Definitely. Definitely.
Oh, no. So Michael Richards is definitely going for the Rusty.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I mean, that's the problem is you are so fucking, your asses to elbows with fucking New York City Central Park horse riders. I mean,
Oh my God.
Liam Neeson is definitely going to horse hell. Ride those horses into the ground.
I can't believe it. I thought I was going to regular hell. I should have been going to regular hell for the humans.
Been prepping for regular hell for decades. Fucking horse hell.
Your height doesn't matter here.
They just bring in a taller horse.
Kicks him right in the chest.
Yeah,
I would. I hate horses, so I would go to horse hell as well.
You hate horses?
I just had a bad experience riding a horse.
Whoa!
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about our horse riding stories.
It was in the Bronx on
a horse in the Bronx.
Yes,
that's also a children's book title.
It's on Pelham Parkway. There was a little stable when we went one time. There was a horse. A little horse named Puddles was actually what it was. And this thing, it was having a bad day. I was like 7. They put me on this fucking thing. Like, yeah, you'll ride a horse. And, you know, it's galloping out of control. It almost threw me in the fucking Bronx.
Riding a horse is very hard.
It is very hard. It's very scary. It's really tall.
Yeah.
Then I have trauma about it. I haven't been on a horse since.
Well, that's not the horse's fault. You're just a baby.
Yeah. I might go to horse hell. I'm a little afraid. I have to go to horse church every week.
Go to horse confession. Like when you see the horse carriages on, you know, Fifth Avenue, like, do you, like, are you smiling?
No, of course not.
Okay, well, then you maybe.
All right,
not.
So you don't appreciate their torture then.
That's
a tourist attraction.
I was going to say, if it was real unbridled hate.
I mean, that's what de Blasio ran on. We're all going to horse hell.
Yeah.
We need to get out of this whole system.
I was excited for him to get rid of the horses.
But then he caved.
But yeah. Oh, well.
These things happen. I didn't have like quite as bad a time. I just didn't appreciate the nut trauma.
Yo, the nuts! Yes.
I was on a horse, and the horse, like, it was one of those things. I was little, and it was like, it was a girl. Like the horse had like a rope attached to it, you know. And it was like, we're gonna walk around in a circle, and I was like, all right. And you're up there, and it's like, all right, this is okay. I get used to this. This is what cowboys do. I was like, Andrew's a cowboy. And then this horse just decided to like have a little fun, and it was like the horse was like, I love being alive, and just like took a little hop step, and I went up. And I came right down on my balls. And you only need like 5 inches.
Ah, shit. Fucking horse hell. My balls feel like shit.
I went on a horse ride on my...
If there was ever a time I wish this was a video podcast, it was when Chris was screaming like Nick Nolte hurting his own balls.
Yeah, he was jumping up and down like he had an actual nut shot.
You have to get into it.
I rode a horse on my honeymoon, and we were like going up a hill, and the guide was just like, coming up on a road, just so you know.
What, like a paved road?
Yeah, like fucking cars on it and shit. I'm just like, well, you're trying to get this horse to go up a fucking hill.
Yeah.
So you're just like, all right. And we get up there, and it's just like, I'm not good enough at horses to stop this horse. It's like, I hope these fucking cars stop. Thankfully, the cars did slow down.
Thank God.
It was very scary.
Well, I just remember after, like, I was walking like the illusionist in Prestige with the goldfish bowl between their legs. Like, you just stay for at least 48 hours.
You have
to. And you look so strange.
My fucking balls feel like a bunch of crushed grapes in Sicily here in fucking horse hell. Make testicle wide out of my nut. God damn it. It's like Lucille O'Ball stepping on those grapes.
Oh, first they're gonna take you to horse hell.
Dude, do you think they like they pull up in like a chariot or something?
I don't know. Oh, here's a question. Does Liam Neeson go to horse hell or Albanian hell?
Ooh.
Because he's
Albanian hell's not real because
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of dead Albanian horses.
I think they just combined the two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's like horse hell's rent in space to Albania.
I think Albanian hell is actually just if you have to spend a long weekend with Jim Belushi, probably.
What are we doing now, Andrew? I'm bored.
I'm ethnically Albanian. You probably didn't know that. Like, yes, I did. Yes,
I watched Wag the Dog. Yes, I knew.
He shows you his medal from Albania. You hear about that?
Oh, I saw the YouTube video of him getting it.
Oh, boy.
It's pretty great.
What a proud moment.
For who?
So we didn't
you
get
watching on YouTube.
Where are we with this?
Speaking
movie?
Of Horace Held, we didn't talk about who does the voice of the father.
Oh right, because so he takes John Candy the horse takes Bobcat Goldthwait to meet his horse parents. One, the father horse is played by Burgess Meredith.
Yes.
And the mother horse is played by Carl Reiner's dead wife. I believe that to be true. Carl Reiner's wife is in this movie. Rob Reiner's mother. I don't know. I was making the assumption.
Doesn't the mother not talk?
Oh, no, you're totally
no, she,
right.
No, she definitely does.
No, she makes horse noises. That's no, the joke.
Just, oh, right.
So, no, but I, you're she, right.
And he has a dullard brother who's watching.
Watching the Three Stooges.
Lou the brother, yeah, who can only speak like Curly from the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
That's irritating.
It is, you know what? That's irritating. More than enough one time.
Mm-hmm.
This joke is made like nine times.
Curly's probably in horse hell.
Curly, all the Three Stooges, oh, the Marx Stooges. Brothers, they're all there.
Most of the old comedians. Charlie Chaplin. I bet you Charlie Chaplin lets some fucking horse die for his comedy.
Buster Keaton? Man, definitely. I kind of hold on a second. I kind of want to go to horse hell.
Yeah, you're hanging out with legends, man.
All you got to do is kill one horse.
Mm-hmm. It's better to fucking party in horse hell, man. Is Mr. Hands in horse hell? Or is
Mr. Hands in horse hell.
But
he's probably the king of horse hell.
I will send you to horse heaven before I send you to horse hell.
Yeah, you're right, because he likes getting fucked by horses.
That's correct. Yeah, so he did.
Any time with horses.
Till a horse ruptured time. His body.
Yes.
And of course, newer listeners might not realize this reference. It's to the documentary Zoo, which our good friend here, Chris Cabin, is an associate producer.
A booster.
The best part about seeing Zoo in theaters was when me and Steve, before the screening, got ice cream that was made with Johnny Walker Black, and we were drunk for the movie.
Oh, God.
People were like, we were laughing the whole time, like a bunch of idiots, like a bunch of high school kids at a fucking movie. But we were like in our mid-20s.
And yeah.
People were like, oh, I can't believe it. People, this man died. That man died.
And we're like, bucking a porno.
Yeah.
So let's flash forward a little bit here because there's not a lot to this 80s.
So it's worth saying that the big conflict is Bobcat's mother has left him half of the company after she died.
Right.
Yes. Dabney Coleman wants that half
right.
for like it's $525, yeah. Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Well, it's a funny joke. He's like, this guy's stupid. Yeah. I'm going to try to rip him off. The funny part of the gag is he's like, I think you'll find this most generous. And when he opens the piece of paper, he's originally written $500 and crossed it out and written $525, which I thought was a pretty good joke.
It's a pretty good joke. I mean, to your point, Dabney Coleman's pretty good in this. I don't like the teeth. It's like, come on.
He's got these fake, like, prosthetic teeth.
What is that adding? Like,
just
no
to make him look like more of a dinkus?
Well, I think
like,
it's supposed to be also because, like, the horse has fucked up teeth.
Yeah.
So he just looks like the horse.
Okay.
Which is nothing.
So the horse actually gives him a stock tip, right? That's how this works?
Yeah, so Bobcat decides, he's like, you know what? No, I'm not going to take this buyout. I'm going to come to work. Mm-hmm.
And I'm
so
be a stock trader.
Yeah, I know nothing about stock trading, but let's do it. And so, yeah, the horse then, he's back at the stable, and someone else in the movie, another dude, is using the horse stable for fucking, and he stops, mid-fucking, and he's like, oh, hang on, baby, I gotta call and make this stock tip about the blah, 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 and the horse hears it, and John Candy's like, say, stock tip, and somehow then the horse dials a phone,
I mean, I guess you do the operator, can you connect me to bit?
I need to see that. Well, we're talking rotary phone.
You get one good tongue in on that zero, you get the operator.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true. So then he calls Bobcat and he doesn't really disguise his voice, but he's like, so hey, here's this company, like, buy big something. You know, they're
Ventura.
Buy Ventura. I don't know how stocks work. Whatever. Buy Ventura. They're gonna do a thing, and people are gonna be excited
about
it.
Skyrocket, and then you can sell when it's high.
The good news is this movie doesn't know anything about the stock market either.
That's true.
Yes. Really helpful. I mean, it's complete nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I never. It doesn't this movie take place in Los Angeles?
I have no idea.
Nowheresville. Yeah. I don't know where this is.
It looks it was New York.
I thought it was New York too, or like Connecticut or something. But that might just be my you know,
the New York
like the spaghetti donut view of the world.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because later in the movie, a horse is talking to a dog or something, I think, and he's like, where are you from? And he says he's from New Haven, which is a town in Connecticut. But like, they're showing Bobcat driving a sports car later in the movie. It's definitely just L.A.
Yeah,
Maybe they're very, very lazily doing L.A. for New York.
Again, they cut out Elliot Gould out of this movie. I mean, like, this is held together with bubblegum. Maybe it takes place in Toronto for a little while.
There could have been a detective who's living on a beach, which is also an Elliot Gould
movie.
I'm
pretty sure I saw Omaha in there somewhere. But, like, still, like, it's ridiculous. Like, we're at a point now where it goes, like, is he... Virginia Madsen.
Yeah, what about her? She's in the movie.
She comes in and she's like...
Horse hell for her? What do you think?
Probably.
No.
I mean, just because she's in this movie.
Here's the thing. Michael Madsen, horse hell.
Yes, but here's what I worry about. I worry about horse hell by association. So here we go. Virginia Madsen also at one point hosted an iteration of Unsolved Mysteries, which Dennis Farina also did, and Dennis Farina is definitely in horse hell.
So you think it's a mix-up by, like, Saint Horse Peter?
I think so.
Like, no, I'm afraid not. You have to go to horse hell.
Well, the paperwork is right here, Ms. Madsen. I'm sorry. Well, she's not dead. So.
Well, it's one clump for horse heaven, two clumps for horse hell.
Well, here's the thing. If you do deathbed repentance...
Oh, I see.
Could you get out of... Like, are there...
Well,
like,
if the horse is a Catholic...
A horse has to give you your last horse rites before it happens.
Oh, fuck, right. You always gotta, like, have, like...
A
horse padre nearby.
Man, horse priest, that's a sitcom.
Not enough sitcoms about talking horses.
It's a tried and true
concept.
Mr. Ed.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's all you need.
I'm sure there's like a Mr. Ed from the 90s that everyone's forgetting.
Shit. Oh, was there a reboot?
Probably. Baseball cap on him?
Yes, exactly.
Voiced by Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
I
would pick that one.
Horse Van Winkle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe he like fell asleep for years, too.
No, that's Rob Van Winkle's Vanilla Ice.
Oh, no, I know. But I say let's combine it with Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah, what the hell?
Who listeners, you know, younger listeners might want to look up that little legend.
So the horse's stock tip was successful. Bobcat becomes a millionaire overnight. He moves into an apartment. The broker is played by one of two Know-Nothing Saturday Night Live alums that are in this movie.
They're in every 80s movie in the world.
And now, who are these gentlemen? Women?
One's a lady.
Okay. I don't know. I can't
see. She was
spot
in
SNL.
Feds with...
Yes.
What's her...
Rebecca De Mornay. Yeah. Is Feds an episode?
It might be.
What is Feds? Define Feds.
I mean, it's like kind of if the first 5 minutes of Silence of the Lambs was a comedy.
You know what? Yeah,
pretty much. I'm into it.
The woman's name is Mary Gross.
Unlike my other comedy idea, which is Migs and Me, which is just Migs gets out and
gets into some sticky situations.
Well, no, Migs gets released from the mental institution and sure enough is put upon... successful yuppie son has to take care of him.
Right.
And
and I mean, after he went to all the trouble of getting Steve Buscemi to play Migs.
Just like, all right, Dad, my boss is coming over for a big promotion for dinner. I don't want you to come out, and I definitely don't want you to spray cum in his face. Dad, you did it again.
Well... I was about to give you this promotion, but this consomme soup is delicious. And it's like, oh, no.
I love it.
Yeah.
If only Dr. Hannibal Lecter didn't drive Migs to suicide in that movie. The other person...
Well, you're going to get a big rosary. You should probably blow your nose first. But, Dad...
The other guy from SNL is a dude named Tim Kaczorinski.
Oh, right. The guy that plays the evil stockbroker?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They're just, I mean, these are like, it was like the low-level 80s years
of
Saturday Night
Live. Is it
the
Randy Quaid season?
They probably commingled.
You know how I know that guy? He's the senator in L.A. Confidential that Russell Crowe threatens to beat up.
Oh, nice.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's better than this.
He went on to big things.
You know, yeah. It's a kind of a supercut that I could go for, and I love Danny DeVito more than anything in the world, is Russell Crowe beating the ever-loving shit out of Danny DeVito in L.A. Confidential.
It's like,
isn't,
you know,
that a dream come true?
It's great, yeah. And here's the thing. If I recall that movie correctly, and it's been a number of years since I've seen it, I don't think there's any music playing in that
no,
scene.
No, it's tough.
So what you do is you just put funny sounding songs over Danny DeVito getting beaten half to death in that
We're
movie.
We're pals, right?
Yeah.
Get me like a wrecking ball.
Like just something like that. Katy Perry's Firework, you put that in there.
It's a dead man's party.
Oh, totally, man. All of these things could be great. That's a great YouTube meme that you could set up.
Yeah.
So he
meme
gets
watch.
He gets into this really nice apartment. The horse is like, fuck this. I gave this guy everything that he knows.
Rightfully so, horse.
Yeah, I mean, so he brings this horse in, which is fine. But
he's got a room
big enough for a horse.
He's got room for Poison Ivy's lair.
Oh, yeah, that thing
on the side
thing,
this terrarium.
The atrium. Which, by the way, growing up watching this movie religiously, I was always saw this and I was like, man, do I want an atrium one day?
Oh, well, yeah, wow. Dude, that's a sign of success in the 1980s.
Not only that, but it's just like, hold on a second. We're bringing the outdoors in. Like, just to have like a room in the middle of your house where it's just it's just open.
Well, that's
wild neon lights everywhere.
That's one thing to have plants and it's like humid in there and whatever. But there's like a fake thunderstorm set.
Yeah, you're supposed to be having sex in the fucking room.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes. Why else would you have like disco lighting and like
there's definitely like a Roman statue that's urinating water.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a fuck room to me.
It's only as big
as
a walk-in shower.
It's a house, Chris. All rooms are fuck rooms.
But I mean, this one seems tailored to that cause.
Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, of course, man. Why not, right?
I guess so.
Come on, why not?
But
wouldn't you fuck with the wind on your back in your own house? Sounds fun.
Fair. Fair point.
He's got a snooty neighbor who comes to nothing. One of the many things that gets dropped this week is like, oh, the building doesn't allow pets, but here I have this huge fucking horse.
The whole thing there is like, if you're setting up this neighbor who's like, hey, this apartment building doesn't allow pets.
Right, he's like a yuppie scumbag. Like,
yeah.
Quintessential.
Then something in that movie has to be about the horse getting discovered and they get kicked out of the apartment.
Or like
building.
This dude gets like shit in his groceries or something. Yes. You know? Like,
the worst thing that happens is there's mud on the floor.
Yeah, he needs to have like a righteous gag against this square.
He does have one a little later. We'll get to
it. He gets flustered by a duck. It's nothing big.
What they do, there's like, so I think it's here, there's a great montage. To what is that replacement song? What it's like it's the hanging out montage where they should be doing cocaine, and it's that replacement song that's like shooting dirty pool, telling dirty lies.
I think it's called shooting dirty pool.
I think it's called shooting dirty pool.
It's such a good song, and I was like, this isn't for this movie.
Well,
I need John Candy Fat Guy Blues music right here.
I think this is it. It's a mix up. It's Fat Guy John Candy music mixed with like cool new wavy Bobcat music. That's where the Beastie Boys come from, probably.
Yeah, you're right.
You get that hip Bobcat audience.
That's true. And so like this montage is them drinking a lot of soda, watching a lot of TV. They're watching that mutant ant movie, Them.
Well, this is back when, like, if you said cable, people were like, whoa, shit, you've got cable?
Yeah. You know what this movie reminded me of, though? Man, the innocent days where television stations had the sign-off.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just the shot of the flag. I mean, it's the most, like, bullshit American thing of all time, but it's like the shot of the flag. We're playing the national anthem, and then a TV station would just go to bed.
Now it's just like, you know, like things about like little steel enclosures you can buy.
Right.
Like, I bought my steel building, and I love it.
It's the magic bullet. Now they just play the Zapruder film. And why would I want to order one?
That's got to be public domain, though. You could air that. Give CNN a rest.
Yeah, why not, right? Just air it on a loop for a few hours in the morning. They aired it on live on television in the 1960s. Kids could see it. Why not today?
I just hate it's like you'll notice on a television show or a television station, like MSNBC does this. When they run out of shows, they just start repeating the last 4 hours of shows.
Yeah, just run the
turn
Zapruder
it off.
Run the Zapruder film, or do like a July 4th holiday. You know, to compete with a Twilight Zone marathon.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a Zapruder film marathon.
Totally.
Or buy a Ken Burns doc for the love of God and run it.
Yep, just put that.
That'll
on.
Eat up all your time.
Right. You're that's helping people from, go to sleep
from fucking 2 a.m. until like, you know,
8:30
p.m. the next day.
I mean, if you, that's the only way.
What is Eric baseball in the entirety?
Why not? Ken Burns, sure. The blues.
May I change the subject to something very important?
Yes,
this
please.
Movie? I really do need to tip my hat to whoever was in charge of the horse cock blocking.
Yes, I noticed that.
This guy pulled an Eyes Wide Shut on this. this was magnificent.
It is impressive.
I didn't even think about it.
It was Mr. Hands.
Until he starts talking about it.
Yes. Well, there's not a lot of horse cock talk in this film.
Is it possible that they just used a lady horse and John Candy's doing the voice? Because listen, that's like, if it's not, that's tough.
Yeah,
you're not digitally removing anything.
No, he does. At this point, no.
At one point, Bobcat goes to a yuppie party that's going on upstairs to try, and then like, he meets some like weird quote unquote spinster that like
it's a Tex Avery character.
Oh, she is, God. And she's like, "Oh, a man!" And
she eats
goes,
an anchovy, and I almost vomited all over my
and
house.
And I like anchovies, but I think that was it. I think I'm done.
She was like, "Oh," she comes into his house. She's like, "Oh, wow, you got a horse." And he's like, yeah, I don't know, it's a fucking horse. And she's like, yeah. And then like,
he's pretending to horse is pretending to be a statue.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, it's anatomically correct.
That's right. And I think to the all 83 minutes of this movie, that's the only horse dick joke in it.
Thank God. Thank God for that.
It's a great film.
But there's also just like random fucking sex shit all over this.
Oh yeah.
Like when in not to bring us too much back, but like. When they are with the horse parents, part of the Burgess Meredith translates a question from the mother, and her question to Bobcat is what it's like to have sex with somebody facing them.
Yeah.
Why would you even bring that up?
Horses are here, curious. Man. These kids love Camp Candy. You know what I mean? Like they
1988 was Camp Candy out then?
Probably not.
What the hell's Camp Candy?
What?
I also coming don't know
soon
what
to what coming soon to an animation damnation near you.
Okay, so it's a cartoon.
It was
about
a cartoon
what?
With John Candy ran a summer camp for kids.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not kidding. Rental?
John Candy's voice.
Yeah, yeah, he did the voice.
What? He was like the leader of this little like troop of campers.
No,
it was like towards the end, you know, like it was a Wagons Eastie JFK. Oh. I'll go to this little recording studio and make a summer camp cartoon.
You tell me you were watching this cartoon in 1994?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
I have no
idea. It was wholesome.
It was very wholesome.
So, it was, you know what was around? Was like, I think he was like, oh, my fucking buddy Rick Moranis has a goddamn Gravedale High cartoon.
Which I never heard of either until I met you. Clowns.
Is that right?
Yes.
No, I never heard of Gravedale either.
Really?
Yeah.
Gravedale High?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Gravedale.
The whole SCTV, there was Eugene Levy was a plumber. No, that's not true.
It's called Cleaning Your Pipes.
He's a plumber, but the funny thing is every time he takes a shower, he clogs up the drain because he's so fucking hairy.
Right.
So at one point...
Hey, honey! The Wolfman here? Oh, it's just Eugene Levy. No, we're good. We're good.
Well, I think that show's a little too Toronto for my taste.
Is anybody watching Schitt's Creek? Said no one in the history of human society.
I missed it.
Yeah, I haven't caught on.
It's Eugene Levy and his children.
His son.
And Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, boy. I'm so happy.
Catherine
Eugene
O'Hara, though.
Levy's son was able to break into the industry.
You just reminded me of something that chilled my bones. Has anyone seen Dinner with Dad?
No.
Whoa, what is this a Rainer Werner Fassbinder film?
No, but you would wish it would be. It's a Hulu like little mini-sodes program every episode is Jason Alexander and his son getting dinner at the same restaurant and kvetching for 5 minutes.
No.
How old's his son?
He's like you know, probably, like, yeah, like in his late 20s,
maybe. Does he look disgusting, just like his father?
He looks like a very handsome young Jason Alexander. Oh, and so he like, sounds like him.
Oh, like a raping Julia Roberts Jason Alexander.
What
movie was that?
What, Pretty Woman.
He's just I want to get my money's worth. Oh, like, what in the world?
Oh, you will forget that Jason Alexander's
squealing like a hungry pig.
Because you're like, oh, this is the funny movie with the jewel case. Like, no. It's the movie where Jason Alexander really grossly tries to have aggressive rape sex with fucking Julia Roberts. Yuck.
Yeah, well, it's what's bad about this show, aside from everything, is there's a lot of like, because it's all about the sons trying to be an actor.
Oh, come on,
is that right?
And he's going to Jason Alexander for like career advice and stuff. And there's a lot of like, we're mentioning Seinfeld and like, but you know, we're just calling it like
right?
The show.
Well, so there's nothing on Dunstan Checks In?
Not yet. I only watched like 4 episodes of it.
All right. First things first, Cody, is you want to accidentally be on the greatest sitcom of all time. And I mean, he's fantastic on that show, but that's he could have easily done any other pilot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
It's all in a bottle.
You're
it's all luck.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, it's terrible.
So the
Schitt's Creek.
The horse is like, now we're doing like bad roommates gags. That's kind of the middle of this movie. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden the dog shows up and is like, I'm a dog from New Haven. The dog's barking. We have subtitles. And he's like, can I party with you? And the thing about this horse is kind of sad. Like, he always wants like somebody to hang out with.
He's constantly calling Bobcat Goldthwait at the office, like, hey man, what do you want to do tonight? And he's like, I gotta work and you're a horse. And then it's like a horse sadly hanging up a phone.
The horse has anxiety.
He does.
It's like really weird, man.
It's fucking tragic.
It's really fucking strange. And like, now he lets this fucking dog in.
But this is what
and
sucks.
And then there's birds.
I mean, it gets wild.
It turns into an animal. Basically, the dog.
It's like an orgy at Jack Hanna's house.
Oh, man. That would have been a fucking fun night for Johnny Carson to come over.
I feel like
you
Jack
know what?
Hanna,
I'm going home.
So Jack Hanna, I'm I have to do 100 years in baboon hell, and then another 100 years in cockatoo hell. I gotta 200 years in emu hell.
Carson is just in hell.
The devil.
Jack Hanna.
Oh, Jack Hanna. When he goes, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's got a laundry list of hells to visit.
Yeah, but Johnny's in the big hell. You know,
he made the big one.
The devil called him over to the couch.
He's seated at the right hand of JFK.
Oh.
But what this needs to be, though, and I'm sorry, this is a horse voiced by John Everloving Candy. Yeah. This needs to be a big fat party animal.
Yeah.
This is the saddest horse in film history.
Yeah, he's kind of just like, he's like one of those kids that is kind of like, a party just breaks out at their house and they don't want to have
totally
it.
Totally loses control.
And he's Winona Ryder and Girl Interrupted. Like this.
Horse Interrupted? I like this.
Don't cut me off again. Horse Interrupted.
Man. Like, it's like he has a psychological condition.
He does. And like, he doesn't like to be alone.
And it takes up the whole fucking movie.
And this whole menagerie fucking takes advantage of him.
So yeah, all these animals show up, another dog, a bunch of different birds, and all sorts of stuff start piling in, and they destroy... They destroy Bobcat's house. Bobcat comes in. He's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
This is where Fight for Your Right to Party is playing, by the way.
Oh, yeah. The Beastie Boys are just like, yeah, we'll sign a check. What's this called? Hot to Trot? What's it about? I don't care. This is like,
we don't really care about this yet.
No, actually, that's my question is because, as we know, the Star Trek universe revolves around Beastie Boys.
Right, yes. Yeah.
So Hot to Trot probably survives then, right?
Right.
Like, this is like Kirk's favorite movie growing up in Iowa.
I think it's like the only thing that's left of the Criterion Collection. It's just everyone in their house has a glass case with like a 12K disc file of Hot to Trot on it.
Jim, you got to stop watching Hot to Trot. We've got to get out of here.
A lonely horse is illogical, Captain.
Horses are very social animals. My brother Cybok rode a horse with a horn on it once.
It's a comical farce, you green-blooded Vulcan. You watch it and you laugh. What's to understand?
Captain, why isn't this horse a big, fat, party animal?
Well, okay, it's not perfect, Spock, but give it a shot.
It's like Mr. Ed on cocaine, you green-blooded monster.
It took me 4 times to watch it, Jim. I didn't understand it.
Haven't you ever done cocaine with a horse? I'm a simple country doctor.
So, like, Bobcat's luck with these stocks eventually starts running out. What with him taking advice from a horse?
The horse is like, oh, he brings the horse oats, and the horse eats oats, and he's like, this is the best oats in the world. This company's going to be huge. So he invests heavily in this company the next day at the office.
Indio Oats or
Indio
something?
Indio Oats. Yeah. But apparently, Dabney Coleman gets a stock tip that the thing's under FDA investigation. This is my favorite scene that we need to talk about. So the horse, and we don't know why the horse loves it so much. And like, oh, no, the horse might be sick. The horse named Don, by the way, calls up Bobcat and is like, you got to sell all that stock. It made me sick. And he's calling him from the toilet. And a horse has diarrhea in your house. Are you kidding? You have to burn that thing down.
Yeah, you know what? You go outside your house with like 6 like planks of wood. You hammer them all to the door, and then you scribble abandoned on it.
You get Joey Pants to help you burn it down.
You have to. Or like,
looks like a horse had diarrhea in here. I'm going to burn it to the fucking ground.
The horse is in there, right? Okay, good.
Well, clean up, Bobcat. The thing is, like, unless the horse is flushing every 12 seconds, that thing will stink forever.
That's diarrhea overflow.
Bobcat, this is your super. You remember in Ghostbusters 2 when the slime is all over the outside of the museum? That's your apartment as of this moment.
Encased in horse diarrhea.
It's a river of horse shit!
Man, you know what? You could call Ghostbusters 2 a fucking river of horseshit.
But, Mike, everyone just close...
But it's the Ghostbusters.
Close your eyes and imagine a really nice bathroom. You know, marble everywhere. You know what I mean? Like a nice, like, you know, it's the 80s, so there's a gray and pink painting somewhere. And
cocaine on the sink.
And a 600-pound horse. Hovering around, not over, around a human toilet.
Because how could it get over?
I don't think it would even fit. I think it's going directly into the tub.
And he even says at one point, he's like, you got to close this toilet seat after you use it, Bobcat Goldthwait. So is this horse like sitting on the toilet seat?
No, I think this horse is like standing near something and hoping for the best.
Hoping his ass is the tub way and not the faucet way.
I think shit the tub, actually. Yeah,
if you can shit in the tub, do it.
Yeah, definitely.
But like the thing's going to overflow.
Or
if it's bad oats diarrhea, the thing's going to overflow.
Just shit on the bed and then just throw it all out. He's a millionaire.
And this is
shit the bed.
A tip, Bobcat, if your horse friend calls you from your bathroom and he says he has diarrhea, don't come home. Never come home.
No.
Just don't come home.
Start a new life. It's okay.
That's what a security deposit is for. If you're making money like that, just walk away.
Whatever was in that apartment is gone.
Yeah. Also, all those other animals, the ducks and the pigs, they all destroyed.
They all suffocated to death. There's no air left
in
there.
It's like a methane leak. Dude, you can't get through that.
No way, dude.
That's why horses are an open-air animal for horse shit purposes. So
yeah, it's mainly the shitting. The space is an issue, but it's mainly the shitting.
Exactly. There's a bit where Bobcat is on a like. So basically, like Dabney Coleman locks Bobcat in the bathroom,
right?
So he can't sell his shares, so he runs out of money. Bobcat does this bit where he walks on a ledge. One of the only things I remember about this movie is this scene where he's just kind of fiddling around on a ledge.
Yeah, he's falling off. There's a pigeon that's fucking with him.
Yeah, it's a perfect stranger's gag.
Ever.
Did Bobcat ever guest star on Perfect Strangers? Because I feel like that's a perfect match.
I feel like he must have.
You know what, though? Probably not.
No, I think he's too big for it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This is the time of Bobcat. Bobcat could do fucking 12 Perfect Strangers.
I think he had a comedy special called Bobcat Goldthwait, Too Big for TV.
He knew Steve Guttenberg.
Okay. That's, yes, that does sway my vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you let that sink in?
I will let it.
Isn't it kind of funny that you, as a kid, I thought that that's how Bobcat Goldthwait just talked?
Like,
I
was sure.
That's how that guy talks.
It was still weird. I mean, whenever that doc came out that he did with Barry Crimmins like 2 years ago,
yeah.
I got to do a Q&A with the two of them. And I knew then, like, I'd heard him since then speak.
Yeah.
You know, but then meeting him in person, I was like, oh, he's going to do the thing. And he was just like the nicest, chillest dude.
Yeah.
He was still fucking hilarious, but he was just being a guy. And I was like, aren't you going to all over the place? Oh, no, because you're a human being. That's a character.
Are you nervous about something? No.
Yeah, totally. Shouldn't you be like pulling your hair out of your head? No.
I will say, and this is, it's odd to compliment Police Academy, but him in Police Academy, it was good.
He's great in those movies.
Police Academy 2, by the way, is not in the first one.
Right, I think
he's a carpetbagger to the Police Academy franchise.
I didn't know it was early as 2, so that's nice.
I think it's just 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. A lot of people came in on the later era.
Yeah.
I don't think he made it to Moscow. I
haven't seen any of them.
Not a single Police Academy movie?
Dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously, get your head examined.
Okay. Well, they're all Stay Tuned. Almost all of them.
Like, you know, I have the four-pack.
It's on the docket, Eric.
I got the four-pack DVD if you want to buy it.
I know you do.
Well, the four-pack, that ain't all of them.
Well, so wait, you know what?
Some of them are double discs.
That is certainly enough of them. Because I don't need City Under Siege. I don't need Mission to Moscow with fucking Lloyd Braun.
Which one is Police Academy Rampant Homophobia? Which one is that?
All of them.
Assignment Miami Beach, which is actually the Matt McCoy one, excuse me, the Lloyd Braun.
Oh, right.
Those movies are vitriolically homophobic.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? You had to fight against the agenda,
Speaking of which, this movie, John Candy says the F word, and I'm not talking about old Fuckstein.
No, it's weird. He goes to a state. So before what happens, Bobcat like gets ousted from the company because
loses everything.
Before that happens, he goes to visit Dabney Coleman's other horse at a stable for some reason. And
I think it's kind of to get laid because he's kind of like, oh, hey, baby.
Right, he's into that other horse, that Dabney Coleman's horse that satin he gave something to, or other. To his girlfriend. Yeah, Satin Doll.
Satin Doll.
Yeah. Ooh.
But there's this other horse that is like the
thoroughbred.
Prize.
Yeah.
A thoroughbred, the prize something or other. And it's really weird. It's just John Candy as a horse looking at another horse and under his breath muttering the F-bomb. And it's just like, geez.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. What? If you're going to do it, why bury it?
It's just it seems so much more hateful to do, like, you know, like, right.
I think that was the mentality of Eddie Murphy in Raw.
That's a problem with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, it wasn't like, he just said it. And, like, this was, like, I had to go back because I was like, what did he even say?
Oh, I rewound it three times.
At first, I was like,
you know why that is, though? Because I bet you John Candy had a hard time saying that line.
Then why put it in this script?
But that's my point. It's, like,
it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
it's fucking funny.
Do you think that was in the Elliot Gould version as well?
Ooh,
that's what I wonder. I can't imagine Elliot Gould saying that word. I think that he's got a little more too much class for that.
Yeah, he just called him a schwanz. Just means dick. It's fine.
I know.
I mean, yeah, you know, you're not wrong. Where were we? Oh, so he loses everything.
Him and the horse hit the road, and then we have like a scene where like
he's Bob now in love. Virginia Madsen is like on his side now.
They went on a date at one point.
They go on a date, like, and she's
where
like,
he doesn't know how to eat linguine.
He doesn't even know how to say it.
How is she at all attracted to this man?
But like, how, like, you're living under Dabney Coleman's roof for years. How do you not? Because there's a scene where he gets kicked out of the house at one point.
Yeah.
But it's like, how does he not have any of that refinement?
It's a slobs versus snobs thing, but it doesn't make sense because he's grown up as a snob for years.
Well, but it's also, it's stated, though, that Dabney Coleman is his stepdad.
That's
and
true.
I think it's a thing
Buck
where
Henry's his real father.
That's right. I think it's just a thing where he's like, I don't give a fuck about this person. Yeah. I'm not going to treat him.
But learn how to say linguine at least.
Well, like, you'd think you'd pick something up.
I think he says like Lingenese or something.
Well, because he's like, it's just like spaghetti. Or I'm sorry. It's just like spaghetti.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, here you are. You're a 1988 Virginia Madsen.
Hello.
You could be a fucking 2016 Virginia Madsen. And you're having dinner with a guy that looks like a 1988 Bobcat Goldthwait. Mulleted as all get out.
Tied back in a ponytail because you're definitely at a fancy restaurant in this scene.
And he can't even say linguine, and he has the bobcat voice. You're like, dude, I'm out.
She's,
you know what, man?
And instead, well, she's just horny as hell.
No, this date was actually set up as corporate espionage.
Oh, that's right.
You're right.
Because Dabney wanted to know how he was getting the stock.
Yes, price. But her heart is melted all the same. Yes.
Well, I mean, when you look into those eyes.
You just want to take care of them.
Well, it's like a puppy dog that got hit by a car.
Yeah. Oh, you don't even know how to say linguine.
Yeah, exactly.
So the scheme is to get the money back. And this is the problem. The movie should end with some sort of stock thing, right? Because it's a stockbroker movie. It should end like
it's a Wall Street thriller.
It should end like Trading Places. You know what I mean? Like, it's we all buy orange juice and
like Michael Clayton.
It should end. Oh my God! Yes,
it goes up to three humans on a hill.
I like that. But instead, we end with a horse race
because, like, yeah, it's like, oh, if he wins the big horse race, we'll have enough money for something. And like, he says that he can win the race by using psychological tactics.
Yeah. Well, that's John Candy's just like shit talking all these other horses,
debasing his competition.
So, Freddie Bobcat has to end up being the jockey.
Right.
Let's just get into the race. Let's do the race.
Well, the one thing I want to get to before that is the night before he's having like a panic attack. He's like, how am I going to win this race? He's John Candy. The most disturbing thing I've ever seen is this fly puppet. That is a living
God.
A fly puppet voiced by Burgess Meredith is a living nightmare.
The reincarnation of his dead father, right. Who's now a horse fly.
Yeah, the horse dad like dies at some point. It's a nothing scene.
It kind of has a horse mouth now.
It's got the little lips. It's got lips. It's like,
so gross. Well, and you know what's fucked up is in the end credits, the person who created this fly puppet is credited. I would have Alan Smythe'd that shit.
No, yeah. That's just to find him. It's like, hey, look, put it out there. Let people find this guy.
This is the blacklist.
Burn his house down.
Because I'm glad you brought, because that is, it's disgusting. But like, there's the other thing, which is when, oh God, Don gets a horse sex puppet.
Right, the blow-up doll.
That's
like,
cool.
And this is just another one that's fucking sex things in this movie.
That's right.
And, like, the horse has garters. Oh, my God.
Oh, right. It's a sexy horse. You can buy
those. And it's a weird, like,
you can buy those.
No, I'm not making that up.
There's kind of this funny banter with, there's, like, a housekeeper that Bobcat hires. And, like, she's got some funny banter where she's, like, vacuuming. And she asks the horse to, like, stick his leg up so she can vacuum and whatnot. So this box is delivered for this horse. And she signs for it and opens it. And this thing just blows itself up. And she's like, oh, you've ordered a sex doll that's shaped like a huge horse.
A huge pink horse.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's like it's a brony situation, I think.
But the weird thing is, so yeah, Bobcat is, it's the day of the race. Bobcat goads Dabney Coleman into betting all of his horses against his one horse because it's like, man, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
Well, he pulls a McFly. Chicka shit.
Oh, we're saying the word chicken shit a lot. It's the late 80s. We're saying chicken shit.
Oh, did you just call me a chicken shit? It's so great how Dabney gets all fucking pissed off about it.
Also, though, like, I'm fairly certain you can't just sign a horse up for a horse race. It's not a fucking boxcar derby.
You'd think they'd all be booked.
There's not just open slots where you can get your fucking horse in. It's not a sign-up sheet.
Speaking of the Burgess Meredith fly thing, like, Don the horse actually referenced, like, I need a pep talk like the old man from Rocky.
Yeah.
Who is literally your father.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be weird.
And he actually did Rocky references in this, like, you gotta get up, champ.
You gotta be Italian.
But the funny thing is, Burgess Meredith never saw this movie, so he doesn't know. I guarantee you.
I don't think so.
And Burgess Meredith is in heaven. That's the only man that ever went to heaven is Burgess Meredith.
Wait, exactly. Do you think?
Well, he had to battle a horse to get in there, though.
And you know what? Burgess Meredith beat the fucking shit out of that horse. Exactly. You better believe it.
Fucking old ass, 100-year-old Burgess Meredith with a cane, fucking walloped.
No, pure fist fight. Pure fist fight, I say.
Do you
knocked him right out?
I don't remember what I was going to ask. It was something about Burgess Meredith being a sweet old man.
Nothing about him.
Oh, do you think he went to his grave without seeing this movie? Is that true?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Did he see Rocky 1?
Yeah, of course.
Did he see Rocky 2?
Yeah, he saw.
Could he watch his own death scene?
Yeah, he said Rocky dies in Rocky 3, my friend.
Oh, is it Rocky 3?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he watched his own death scene in that movie?
I'm sure.
How about the Grumpy Old Men movies?
Oh, right. We played Dad.
Maybe he just had fun on those and just didn't watch them.
those movies are annoying.
He died in the second one.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, British Meredith had like a death tour, which is kind of a weird thing when you're an older actor where like every movie you're in, you die of old age. Yeah. And you're like, well, that sucks.
I'm Walter Matthau. I'm 100 years old and grumpier old men. And somehow my father just died.
I don't know. I actually babysat him. I don't know how. I mean, little Bert.
Walter Matthau babysat Burgess Meredith.
I remember when little Burgie liked to be bounced on my knee.
Dude, I like this idea of like Walter Matthau, Jack Lemmon, and Burgess Meredith as like little baby men.
Oh, no.
You know, like a Benjamin Button. They're like old men, but they're babies, and they're getting into all types of like scrapes and stuff.
Oh, no. I shit my pants again. Baby Walter Matthau.
Gonna need
also old man Walter. Yeah, well, yeah,
40 cc's of powder here. Stat. Oh,
it's like that movie, The Boss Baby.
That's fucking cute.
That's something. So Bobcat Goldthwait is the tallest jockey of all time. So like, first of all, this horse doesn't know how to run. Second of all, Bobcat Goldthwait, who's like 200 pounds, is on the fucking back of this horse.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they go, and he's going to use psychological tactics.
The first one is hypnosis.
Yeah, he takes this horse out.
Bela Lugosi type of shit.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
But the weird thing is, so what he does is, and not to spoil it, he goes up to every horse, he says something humorous, and the horse veers off the course and stops racing.
There's
the
one
mafia
problem.
Would have a huge problem with this.
Oh, totally.
The mafia had money on some horse, and then they're
They
do, and the fix was in on fucking Don the horse.
Yep. All it takes is one mafia horse.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing. They don't need to like have all the horses.
No.
It's like, we have money on that one horse, and you put it to sleep with hypnosis.
But are we 600 tickets to Hot to Trot, please.
Oh, you got Denny's spaghetti donuts back there?
Just for shit and make those
spaghetti donuts.
Dude, one of the horses he psychs out, he is a horse from, I guess, Mexico.
Right.
And there's a whole big, like, there's immigration at the finish line.
Oh, God. Oh, and the horse, like, runs away. Like, it makes a beeline.
We do also, I mean, because the two jokes you could make in a horse movie, one is the Mr. Ed joke, and the other is the glue factory.
Which, the glue factory joke, you can't have a third act glue factory joke in a horse movie,
I was really surprised. The restraint, the cinematic restraint.
Exactly. That's why it's a perfect film.
Well, because Dabney Coleman threatened dog food.
Yeah, like, your dog meat.
Yes, you're
but
right.
He psychs out two horses. Like, oh yeah, the guy from Elmer's Glue is at the finish line. He's gonna give it, you know. And then they go, brr.
It's a bunch of startled horses.
Oh man, Elmer from Elmer's Glue. That guy is in horse hell.
Elmer was a cow.
But no, the guy must be named after John Elmer of Elmer's Glue, right?
John Elmer. He used to go up. Elmer. He used to go
with his cow.
He would just go into horse yards. And just with a huge mallet and take one out one by one.
And then glue them up, man.
That's how Elmer made his fortune.
It was in between his clan
he
meetings.
He built his empire on bludgeoned horses.
You're sentenced to 1,000,000 years of horse hell. Give them the glue, boys.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's like Han Solo in the carbon.
Oh, man.
No, first of all, it's 100,000 years of horses using Elmer's glue to rip your pube hairs off of your ball sack.
So it's more like the Sarlacc then.
Yes. So whatever, he wins this horse race.
Somehow.
Because the horse has like fucked up teeth that stick out, and like the teeth cross the finish line first. That's a gag.
Photo finish, his teeth are sticking out. And then... because he won the race, he gets to get his teeth capped. Because the horse was self-conscious about his teeth.
This horse had a lot of mental. He doesn't like his teeth, you know, like the social anxiety.
I just don't need a weak horse.
I don't need a weak John Candy, period.
No.
No.
John Candy was a confident man. At least on camera. I didn't know him personally.
I'm sure he battled demons.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I'm sure he was just...
But on, well, I'm talking on screen, man. This is a dude who used his XXXL pants to put up a flagpole and win a regatta contest. He had a sense of humor. At least
he was ready for business.
The characters, anyway. This horse needed to be a big, fat party animal.
Yeah,
not eating soda. He needed to be fucking smoking cigarettes, drinking beer out of a straw that he fills the fishbowl full of beers.
Yeah.
You know, definitely old style. You know what
Ooh,
I mean?
Yeah, like that.
He's drinking through a straw.
Horse karaoke I could use.
Oh, sure.
Oh, in cars, horse karaoke in cars? Yeah, right? Yeah. James Corden, right?
Oh, yep. Right.
Right. He can play the horse. So we get the horse dentist at the end of the movie, played by Gilbert Gottfried.
Right.
And we get weird fucking mouth cams.
This is disgusting.
I love mouth
cams. It's the most disgusting thing. It's the same puppeteer, I guarantee you.
It's a nod to a Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, but it's weird. It's a horse's... You're inside a horse's mouth.
Yeah.
Your horse's ass. It's disgusting.
You know, a lot of people have been in horses' mouths, right,
Chris? Don't worry about it. I've been in a bunch of horses' mouths. One time a horse took a cigar right out of my mouth. I went back inside. I got that horse's cigar.
One day a horse crossed me. I took one part of his jaw and I split him open. Yeah, now I'm in horse hell and I'm being slowly digested inside of a horse. And I just look at a horse's mouth while we're walking around in the hellscape.
That's a hellscape, dude. You are forever stuck inside a horse's mouth looking out at Gilbert Gottfried in 1988. That's a horror.
A horrible place I want to be.
This movie ends with a bidet, bidet, that's all, folks. I was like, well, whatever.
Well, because it was the tone of this movie, much like Offbeat, is kind of like a cartoon.
Yes.
It's just a fun little thing. Let's not get too serious about it, Chris Cabin.
But what's weird, though...
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, there's no ending to any of the human characters. Yeah. The last you see of them, they're all sitting in a waiting room reading magazines.
But you know that they're together because Virginia Madsen is now both wearing a Hawaiian shirt with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yes. Well, I'm glad they took girl. Off.
Yes, that's gross.
She also, at one point, quit her job in disgust about Dabney Coleman.
Oh, yeah, she found out about the nefarious...
No, she just totally noticed his teeth for the first time.
Oh, I can't work with this. But yeah, the horse does a beep a deep a deep. That's all, folks, and credits.
Yeah, sure, credits.
Cut to Fat Guy John Candy music again, thank God. Yeah, that's how you know this movie's over. It sounds like the beginning of Roseanne.
Oh, man, and she's, like, taking all the, what is it, chips?
Poker chips, yeah. Man.
Well, it depends upon which seasons you're watching. Sometimes they're playing cards, sometimes they're eating Chinese food.
Chinese food's what I remember.
Yeah, it was different. The Connor family did different things.
I bet. Yeah, for how many seasons? A lot.
Too many. I think there's, like, 9 seasons of
that shit went on forever.
Yeah, it fucking stunk after a while. And that's Hot to Trot. Would anybody recommend it?
I would not. I've hated, again, hated 25 years at least I've hated this movie. I will continue to hate this movie for longer. There's just nothing here for me personally. I'm out.
Big thumbs up.
Oh, wow.
I would recommend this definitely. Seeing is believing, as in you're seeing an uproarious comedy.
I would say that's like the only defense to see it is if you absolutely need to see a horse movie.
If you need to see a horse movie.
Sometimes you need to see a horse movie, man. I don't know.
The teacher said for homework, I got to see a horse movie by morning.
I mean, that's like, otherwise a hard no. This movie bored the bejesus out of me.
That's insane. It's 83 minutes long and it's got a good
taste. It took forever for me to cling on to this thing.
It was a good gallop. It went by real quick.
It did not for me. It felt like eternity.
Jim, the Klingons are here. They want to watch Hot to Trot.
But again, yes, if you are absolutely in need of a horse movie, it does give you that kick.
Hashtag we want Hot to Trot.
Better break out the Romulan ale. This could get dicey.
I'm totally recommending this movie. I'd never seen it before. It's fucking stupid. It's entertaining. It was a quick 83 minutes for me. I couldn't believe it was over with. I was like, oh, well, the Porky Pig means it's over, I guess. That's something. I was actually confused, too, because Gilbert shows up, and I was like, oh, here's Gilbert. Cool. And then the movie was over with. which was kind of shocking.
He's in it for like 1 minute exactly.
Yeah. Was this like before he was Gilbert?
I mean, he was always Gilbert.
It was 88. I mean, that
no,
was,
no,
well, he was already on SNL by now, I think.
Yeah, Fairlane's 1990.
Exactly 1990. So yeah, I mean, like he was around his time. Yeah,
movies. I mean, I just don't think he like had a persona until Problem Child. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, Gilbert was working in the '70s, man.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I was totally fine with this. It's fucking stupid. I mean, I see what you're saying about like the Bobcat persona is not something that carries the movie. But thank God there was a talking horse voiced by a comedy legend.
Yeah,
that's it.
I thought it was fun. It's dumb as shit. You're right. You're right. Well, you're right, but I had fun with it. I grew up with it. It's just stupid.
Dumb as horse shit. That's Hot to Trot from 1988, directed by Michael Dinner. If you want more WHM, check out our website or find us over at the HeadGum Network page. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, of course. We're at WHM Podcast.
And thank you, Patrick.
Right, of course, for your Patreon support. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com is indeed the mailbag address, everybody. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Next week, what's flying into people's ears?
Oh, I have no idea. I'll find that out.
Well, you know, speaking of Patreon these great patrons out there, we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where we do several premium podcasts with your subscription, your thoughtful donation. And there's no tote bag, but no. we do this recapping Star Trek show where we've been recapping the original series and the Next Generation.
That's right.
You know, called The Nexus. And then we also have a show called Animation Damnation, where you might have seen older episodes of it on the feed, where we talk about a fun little cartoon every month and $3 donation. Is that right? It's $3?
At the $3 level is where you start getting Animation Damnation.
And then at $8, you get The Nexus and all of our commentary tracks that we're doing.
And Animation Damnation. And a subscription to our monthly newsletter, The Big Daddy Dispatch.
And sometimes a side order of sleaze. There's one up there right now, an Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS.
Right, and those shows, by the way, those are meant to be a little less comedy and more just us talking about uncomfortable titles.
Exactly.
Depending upon what the sleaze is.
Exactly. Yes.
Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Now, next week on the program,
we're going to Bronson, Missouri. Not really. Death Wish 3.
This has been a long time coming.
The fact that this is our 299th episode that we're doing, and it took us this long to do a Charles Bronson starring movie, I can't believe it.
And I do believe it is a canon title.
Of course it is.
It's a canon title, and this movie is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to talk about Death Wish 3 next week on We Hate Movies. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadek.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.